Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Let's talk now about one of the most vexing parental challenges, and that's disciplining your children, specifically whether or not to spank them. Now, there are many passionate and deeply held beliefs about this, but one thing is certain. In Massachusetts, parents have the right to spank their children.
The Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court recently ruled that spanking remains firmly woven into the nation's social fabric and that the state has no right to interfere as long as parents use reasonable force and do not cause their children physical harm or severe mental distress.
So do you agree or disagree? There are a lot of issues to work through here. And to help us do so is Marcia Kazarojan. She is president of the Massachusetts Bar Association. Marcia, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much, Meghna.
Also with us is Mary McGeown. She's president of the Massachusetts Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children. Mary, welcome to you.
Good afternoon. Thanks.
It's great to have both of you. And listeners, we want to hear from you on this. In light of the Supreme Judicial Court's recent decision that parents cannot be held criminally liable for spanking their children as long as undue harm isn't caused, what do you think of that decision? Do you spank your kids? Do you think it's an effective form of discipline, or do you opt for other ways? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm also interested to hear just how much you think the state should be involved in understanding how parents should discipline their kids. So first of all, Mary and Marcia, just to give listeners a little bit more background on the case that the SJC was looking at, it involved a Brockton parent who was at a bus terminal, and he was seen kicking his almost 3-year-old daughter at the time on her backside, and he was then arrested later on and charged with assault and battery. Now, the SJC ruled that he actually had what's known as the parental privilege defense in this case, and that he wasn't necessarily causing any harm to his daughter, and so therefore there was nothing criminal about his actions. So, Marcia, let me just start with you. You're president of the Mass Bar Association. I understand that you agree with the SJC's ruling, that it was a good one. Why is that?
Well, first of all, I think there's a misconception about what the ruling is saying. I don't think the ruling is saying, go out there, parents, and spank your children. We condone it, or we nurture it, or we advocate for it. What this SJC ruling is saying is there are certain touchings that you can be held criminally responsible for, and there are certain touchings that would be defended by the parental privilege. So I think that's the big difference here. When I heard you describe what the case was really about as far as the facts, actually, the judge did not make any decision on the kicking. Mm. The kicking was not even part of the decision because the judge determined that there was – one officer said that he saw the Mr. Dorville kick the child like a football type of kick, and the other officer said he saw the same thing, and it wasn't really quite that. It was hesitant. He did make
– yeah.
So the kicking was off the table. But the judge did say the spanking, because – he did touch his child and hit his child on the backside, I guess. It was an odd way of saying it, but the judge said something to the effect of, that's not the way you discipline your child when you're in public. So it was the touching of the spanking that is what got him in trouble.
Right. So, I mean, that public question that came from the lower court, I want to ask a little bit more about that in a second. But, Mary, let me just get your first thoughts here. I mean, do you think the SJC has ruled in the correct way when it said that parents cannot be criminally liable for use of reasonable force in disciplining their children? And that, you know, as Anthony said a little earlier, the SJC said that spanking remains firmly woven into our nation's social fabric.
I think that's true. I mean, I think when you look at it, about 70% of people believe spanking is a necessary part of parenting. So when it comes to the SJC decision, it's a legal decision. What we know is they're not experts on parenting. So when I think about this, I say, one, I take a lot of strength in the fact that what they say that parents have a right, it has to be reasonable, but that they will always err on the side of child safety and the protection of the child. And that's really important because MSPCC, and again, the Massachusetts Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children, we don't believe that there's any place for spanking when it comes to disciplining a child, because discipline is really teaching a child how to make good decisions and motivating them to do the right thing. It's not punishment, and physical force is punishment.
Right. So as you said, the SJC has said when there's a question about the parental action, that they recommend the Commonwealth errs on the side of the welfare of the child. But I'm curious. I mean, I was looking at the decision, and I'm seeing Justice Barbara Lenk, who wrote the decision, saying that it's okay when the spanking is reasonably related to the purpose of safeguarding or promoting the welfare of the minor. And let me just throw this question out to both of you, and either one of you feel free to jump in here. How do we... I mean, that's kind of legalistic language for a really important question. How do we determine whether or not something is reasonably related to safeguarding or promoting the welfare of a child?
Well, I think she did, if you don't mind me jumping in, I think she did give some, and the court did give some parameters of how you are going to go through that evaluation of whether or not that touching or that spanking is either going to be defended by the parental privilege or it's going to be considered an assault and battery. So you take into consideration many things. Now, if you have a child who's heading towards traffic and repeatedly heading towards traffic and running around and you're concerned that this come back here isn't working, and you think something's going to get the attention, so a slap on the diaper or a slap on the backside to get their attention to turn around and go to their parent, that could very well be considered something that is being done to promote the safety or the welfare. You may not, I don't think what the court is saying is, so slapping or spanking on its own is going to be teaching children. I don't think they're suggesting that happen in a vacuum and you don't go into disciplining and explaining why things happen. But that has to do with safety. That's a situation
Mary,
that comes
your thought?
To mind.
Well, in that particular case, I believe that the child absolutely would have stopped running into traffic, but it isn't connected to the running into the street. They're shocked. They may be shocked. They may be hurt. They may be scared. But I don't think they're making the connection that if I run into the street, I shouldn't do this. This is bad for me. Where that's what discipline would do. Discipline would reason and teach a child that it is dangerous to run in the street. That particular instance, too, parents get frustrated. I mean, I'm a parent. You know, it can be one of the most frustrating jobs I have. And when you're doing it out of emotion, when you're spanking a child out of emotion, you're not taking into consideration that child's needs. Is there something else going on there? Little kids use their behavior as a way to communicate. They may be overtired. They may be stressed. They may be hungry. They may want attention. They may want to be chased. They may want a game. But the hitting, the shock of hitting is not going to change the behavior.
Well, so the lower court that initially found Mr. Dorville guilty of assault and battery, that Massachusetts court said that the child, who was almost three at the time, that she lacked the capacity to understand that what the discipline was, and that her father had spanked her, quote, when he was... I'm misreading this. That she had lacked the capacity to basically differentiate between discipline and aggression. Mm-hmm. And that makes me wonder. I mean, now we're sort of getting into the realm of, you know, what is effective, what is not, what do kids understand when their parents do and what they don't. And Mary, let me just start with you. I mean, you were sort of leading towards that just now.
We know spanking doesn't work. The American Pediatric Society opposes it. Hundreds of studies have shown you that spanking is not effective discipline. And there's lots of ways to discipline children that is not force. And it's interesting to me that we have the research, and yet parents refuse to acknowledge, accept the research.
But I mean, earlier you said it's 70% if not more.
Parents.
I mean, but can 70% if not more be consistently wrong on this then?
Oh, absolutely. Well, first of all, can the research be wrong? The research tells us that spanking over a consistent period of time, children become more aggressive. They're more likely to hit other kids. As adults, they're more likely to hit their partners. It's bad. The consequences of spanking far outweigh the moment when the child stops doing the behavior. And if you do it out of anger, the very thing we're trying to teach our children, that you don't get what you want by hitting an individual. And yet the most important person in their life, a parent, hits them to get what they want. It isn't about discipline at that point. It's about power, it's about authority, and it's about a child controlling a child.
Marcia, go ahead.
Well, let me just go back to what we talked about with the child running toward the street, and you, Mary, had made a point about spanking isn't going to teach them why not to do it. it might make them stop because they're shocked or they're hurt. Okay. Well, you know what? Whatever stops them at that point in time, at that moment, works for me. I will deal with, or a parent or any responsible parent would then deal with following up with the education of what to do. But when you have a child running out to the street or doing something that's putting them in danger, whether it's the shock of it or the fleeting pain of it, it works. And that's what they're talking about with regard to the safety, not just the discipline, but the safety. I think that it's important to still remember what this case is saying and what it's not saying. It's not saying spanking is the way to discipline your kids and it's the best way to discipline your kids. It's saying, here's what you do that's against the law. Here's what crosses the line. Here's what's going to put you in jail. This is a crime. Here's what is not going to put you in jail. Here's what is defensible. Here's what you cannot help be held criminally responsible for. I think there's a big difference there.
Well, the court also wrote that at the time, this particular child was two, almost three, of the initial incident. And the court writes that while we agree that a child's age is one among a number of factors to be considered in assessing the reasonableness of corporal punishment, we reject a bright line cutoff age below which any corporal punishment is impermissible. Mm-hmm. And Mary McGeown, your thoughts on that?
Meaning that the court has decided that there's a particular age?
I mean, I guess what people have said in the past before, or maybe even continue to say, is that spanking may be an effective form of discipline at certain ages, but not at others. And the court says that they don't think that there's any bright line there.
I don't think that there's any age that it's appropriate. And I agree with Marsha. Hitting a child as they're running in the street will stop that behavior. Absolutely true. And perhaps maybe we can agree that even in those circumstances, spanking should be used sparingly, rarely, but not as a consistent message to try to teach a child the right behavior. And perhaps we can agree on that.
Absolutely. I don't think there's any argument about that. But I think when we're talking about, for example, what the judge said in this case, first of all, the SJC looked at the evidence that went in where, first of all, this child did know that she was going to be spanked if she didn't behave because she said, Daddy's going to pow-pow if I don't listen or something, if I don't go to mommy. So there was an indication that she did understand. But this wasn't so much about, she understood so she can get spanked, or no, she doesn't understand, she can't get spanked. This was an overview of everything, weighing all of the different things that were going on. Child running out in the street, child not listening to the father perhaps worried that a child was going to run out in the street, getting the attention.
Well, so let me just – so we're sort of focusing on the specifics of this mm-hmm. case, which, of course, so was the SJC. But I actually think that there is a lot of agreement amongst people out there. I'll throw myself into that pool of agreement that if a child is doing something that's putting him or herself in immediate danger – the parents first and foremost should do what they think is best to stop that dangerous behavior. But I mean, more broadly speaking, though, and I think this is why the SJC's decision really got a lot of people's attention. I mean, it's talking about balancing parental rights and reasonable use of force in disciplining children, and a child's welfare. So what about Marsha, in all those other cases at home as a regular form of discipline when parents use spanking? Is the SJC right to say, yes, most of the time that is protected?
That's not what the SJC is saying. The SJC is absolutely not saying that you can use spanking as a regular form of discipline or as an only form of discipline. I don't know where anyone is getting
not
that.
Not only. I'm just saying that.
Or even a regular.
I'm saying that they're saying that it's okay for a reasonable force in disciplining the children because spanking remains firmly woven into our nation's social fabric.
Well, it actually doesn't say that. It said there are a lot of parameters. There's three guidelines, and this is really for the district attorney. Mm-hmm. This is for the Commonwealth who's prosecuting a criminal case. So let's not forget that we're talking a crime here. Someone's going to go to jail. Force must be reasonable. That's the first thing. Force must be reasonably related to safeguarding or promoting welfare of the minor, including preventing punishment or misconduct. That's two. Force used does not cause or create substantial risk of physical harm beyond fleeting pain or minor transient marks, gross degradation or severe emotional distress. So there are those three things that a DA has to deal with when someone raises this as a defense. And in looking at that, the court gave guidelines for the trier of fact, whether it's a judge or a jury. Here are the things that you need to look at to determine whether or not those three things were actually called into play in the right place. And maybe many times they won't be. And certainly repeated beatings is a form of discipline is not what this court is talking about. We're talking about assault and battery before this case came down. All that is you have an intentional touching, unjustified, no matter whether it's slight or nothing. That's an assault and battery. That could land someone in jail until this case came down.
Mary McGeown, I see you want to respond there.
Well, and I think what I would say is this is an opportunity for us to talk about this issue, because what's ironic about the case that kicked this off is it was in public. Spanking is going to occur behind closed doors because that's where parenting occurs. So I agree with Marcia. This is a legal decision. It's a legal document, but the discussion about parenting really needs to be part of society. We need to think about the way we want to raise our kids. And I think prevention, I think working with parents, teaching them, there's a whole toolbox out there that doesn't require you to hit your child. And I think, like many campaigns before it, it can be successful if we embrace it.
Because this gets to really the heart of the matter, that I think for every parent, promoting the welfare of your child, preventing misconduct, these mean different things to different people. There's a good portion of society out there who says, you know, promoting misconduct is, you know, if perhaps a child shows disrespect repeatedly, that maybe they believe that some form of spanking is an appropriate disciplinary measure in those cases. And I'm just looking for guidance here. I mean, does what the SJC outline give clear guidance on those issues, those examples?
I think it does. I think it clearly says that the level of punishment is not supposed to exceed the level of the infraction. So if someone is mouthing off and you know, someone said to me at one point, you get to a point if you're going to spank a child, and if it doesn't, you get to a point where the child isn't fazed by that spanking and they're not changing their behavior. Now you get to a point where you have to think to yourself, am I giving the next spanking because I'm trying to discipline, or am I mad and I want to hurt? That's where the difference is. And this is going to be discussed and should be discussed and taught to people many times over.
And it's interesting you're saying, what is the SJC saying? Well, we wouldn't turn to them for parenting advice. You turn to your doctor. If you have a child who's misbehaving, you would talk to your pediatrician. What can I do? Pediatrician is a good person to talk to about ways to discipline your child. And again, the studies and the American Pediatric Association says spanking is not an effective way to discipline a child. In fact, research shows it loses its impact over time. You know, that a child who is consistently spanked, after a while, it doesn't have any impact at all. They expect it. It doesn't change the behavior. They might be afraid of the parent, but they're not. It doesn't have an impact on trying to make good decisions.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mary McGeown is president and CEO of the Massachusetts Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children. Mary McGeown, thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
And Marcia Kazarojian is president of the Massachusetts Bar Association. Thank you, Marcia, as well for joining
us. You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Listeners, let us know what you think about this conversation. We'd love to hear your comments at radioboston.org. And stay with us. When we come back, we'll talk to the head of Pixar Animation Studios. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.